Hi, welcome back to Juanita's Trove. So today I have a guest. I know it's actually one of my very first guests on our podcast channel, and we'll be discussing a very, very interesting topic. It's called ketosis, and we'll be touching a little bit on intermittent fasting as well. You guys are probably aware of the fact that, you know, there's so many things trending out there. You know, people are attempting every single thing in an effort to lose weight, to find the shortest cuts. And I've heard some of the craziest stories out there. You know, there's ketosis, there's, I don't know, like there's certain diets, there's a million diets out there. And to be quite honest, a lot of them, we do not do enough research about it to equip ourselves about what it is, what do they entail, how do they affect us from a healthy perspective, from a health perspective. So we'll be unpacking those as time goes by. However, today we'll be focusing on ketosis and intermittent fasting. And I have a lovely guest in studio by the name of Zweli Ndlovu, and he's a diehard keto fan. You know what? I will not say anything further because because I promise you guys, like, if there's anybody that I would have loved to have on this channel to talk about ketosis, it would definitely be him. He's done phenomenally well. He'll be sharing his weight loss journey with us and how ketosis has really changed his life for the better. So, hi, Zweli.
Hi, Juanita. hi to the listeners. Thank you very much for having me here. I look forward to the conversation we're about to have with regards to the ketogenic diet, how it changed my life, and how just globally it's just blown up. It is probably the biggest, fastest growing diet rather. And it's just changing people's lives, and no pills, no fast, there's no gimmicks. It's just straightforward.
You know what? I think because it's like one of the fastest growing, what do you call it?
It's a ketogenic diet, basically.
Like the diet, yes. You know, I feel like it's so important that we touch on it, you know, because, I mean, people ask me all the time about it, and I do say that, you know what, I haven't used it, I haven't tried it.
Right.
However, I'm not against it, and I'm pro-learning.
Yes.
There are many, many ways to skin a cat, and, like, this is one of them, but it's about learning and equipping yourself about what it entails.
Absolutely.
But before we dive into it, you know, let's give my audience a little bit of, you know, a snapshot about who you are and what you do. So, please, okay. Tell us about yourself. I hate that question, by the way.
It's like, where do you even start?
I hate that question. I'm worried.
Well, Zweli Ndlovu, I'm sort of born and brought up. Half of my life is sort of in Soweto. Then moved to the East Rand, which is where I still do live till today. Yes, you have to go through a toll gate to get to my house, which is always...
Remind us never to visit.
People always get a kick out of that. But I'm turning 37 this year. I've got my own business, which I've been running for the last 18 years, basically. So ever since I finished school, I do toilet hire, to go figure. But yeah, I do toilet hire to special events, mines, construction, informal settlements, and that kind of thing. So that is my love. It's all I know. It's what I love to know. Like, it's just everything to me. So yeah, but, pretty simple guy. Love what I do. Passionate about life, learning, growing yourself, health, fitness. I've been on this fitness journey for, the longest time ever. Probably since, I think it really started around when I was about 15-ish, I think.
Tell us more about that.
Well,
what
you know,
do you mean it started when you were 15? That sounds like a very young age.
It was.
One's fitness journey or health journey as per se to commence.
So, I mean, I was a very fat kid, pretty much, growing up.
I think you're
up.
Being too harsh on yourself.
No. Actually, I look at photos of myself as a kid and I'm thinking, wow. I'm not speaking like morbidly obese, but I was on the obese side. And, it was kind of weird because I had my dad, who's a health fanatic, and then my mom, who was just not, careful about what she eats at all. So one of the fights my parents always had was my dad, and always shouted at my mom. It's like, Zweli doesn't work. Stop buying him cakes and this and that. You know, he doesn't buy these things himself. You do. So, it's like one of those, it was quite interesting because when I look back on days when my dad made me my school lunch, I knew it would be like poached bread with tomato and lettuce and like a slice of cheese. And when it was my mom, it would be, I don't know, anything just crazy and yummy and all that. So, over time, obviously I started picking up a lot of weight and, around about sort of, what's it, lower primary to early high school and all that was sort of when I wasn't huge, but I had quite a big waistline. I think at like, grade 8 or something, I was almost like a size 40 waist.
Really?
And yeah, and that is kind of when I was really now starting to think like, you know, becoming more self-conscious. Obviously now you're maturing, you're, you know, just into puberty and all that.
Mm.
You're starting to notice things like girls and all that, and you become more self-conscious. And then that's when I kind of had to start with my journey on health, because I also realized that if I didn't do anything about it, I was just going to progress nonstop and eventually just become crazy, crazily overweight. So I needed to, yeah, that's when I basically started with the whole thing in terms of researching food, exercise and all that. And, yeah, that's kind of where it all began and the reasons why it all began.
Awesome. Now I know that you've lost a tremendous amount of weight. How much weight have you lost to date?
I'm down 22 kilos.
That's quite a lot. When did you start?
Just a little over a year ago. It was, if I remember correctly, the 23rd of January, 2018.
That was last year.
That's last year, yeah.
That's fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I mean, I'm more intrigued as to the how you did it, more so as well as the what, as the weight loss, the results.
Yes,
I mean, that's
right.
Fantastic. You know, because for me, I did it the normal way, having all three macros,
you know,
carbs, protein, and fats in your diet. However, you know, ketosis is a very, very special and different diet.
Mm.
Do you want to particularly tell us what keto is about and how does it work? Just the fundamentals of the diet.
So,
using layman terms.
Layman terms. Look, the simplest way to explain ketosis is that it's just a diet that is going to control your blood sugars. So, a lot of people will go on like your conventional weight loss diet, sort of like, oh, low fat, cut out your fat, you know, eat the greens, whole wheat bread, this and that. And what that, does not account for has got to do with your blood sugar, which is like your insulin spike. Insulin is basically secreted by your pancreas. Whenever you eat anything that is a carbohydrate, glucose, whatever, it all turns into sugar in the blood, which is basically sort of poisonous. And then, insulin will come in order to, as you eat something and it turns into sugar, the sugar level in your blood rises and insulin is what's going to bring your blood sugar levels down sort of back to a normal level. So this is kind of like the medical term of it.
Mm.
And now the key discovery has been this, that when your body, when your insulin is up, and every time you eat anything at any time, it will trigger insulin. And then depending on what it is that you're eating, especially like refined carbs and sugar and all that, that spikes your insulin very high. And certain things won't spike your insulin as much. But the discovery was that when you control insulin, that's when you can actually lose weight. Because when your insulin is prevalent and up in your body,
mm-hmm.
your body does not burn fat at all. Insulin is a fat storage hormone. That is basically what that hormone is. It encourages your body to store fat. And that's it. So you will not burn any amount. So, you know, you'll see people who drink, like, I mean, you walk into like a gym and you have like a Powerade or something like that. An energy drink. And because it's got sugar, that's going to spike your insulin. And I promise you, you can run as much as you want, probably run an hour, 2 hours, the equivalent amount of calories, but that you will not burn off any fat though, because your insulin is up, and at that particular point in time, your body is in fat storage mode.
So from a nutritional perspective, what does it entail? Like, what kind of food groups does it entail?
Okay.
How does it work?
So what it encourages, or well, the base of ketosis, which is sort of like a cousin to banting, just a little bit more extreme.
Mm-hmm.
So what ketosis, a ketogenic diet, is it pushes for high fat, which high fat, moderate protein, and low carb. So when I say high fat, it means out of your total calories that you eat per meal or per day, 75% of calories must come from fat.
That's a lot.
It is.
It is a lot. Cause
not,
I mean,
not that much, like, though.
No, it is. It is a lot. Because when I compare it to my current diet at the moment, protein is like, what, close to 45% of my diet.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying?
Right, so, I get you.
Like,
yes.
Fat is like the least part of
of
all my macros.
We are high fat, yeah. Super high fat. And it's the good fat, though. I mean, the saturated fat. So your butters, your ghee, your from olive oil, that kind of stuff, avocado and all that. And then your protein is going to be 20%. Uh-huh. And then your carbohydrates are 5%.
So you can eat carbs.
You can eat carbs. The thing is, it's almost impossible to be completely carb free because carbohydrates are in everything, even in vegetables, even in all the healthy stuff. There are carbohydrates. So it's really is impossible to be 100% carbohydrate free.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're like a carnivore diet, which is just straight meat and nothing else really. Yeah.
So what is ketosis and when do you know you're in ketosis? What does it mean?
All right, so ketosis is the conventional diet and how most of the world eats is basically you guys burn, like you specifically, an example, you burn glucose for energy.
Mm.
So because of your high, the amount of carbohydrates that you use, your body will always prefer to burn off, use glucose first as a source of energy before it uses fat. So with ketosis, it's the other way around. So what happens is your body actually also goes into ketosis now and again. So after about 12 hours having not eaten. So let's say maybe you have a very late lunch and you get home and you think, I'm not really hungry. And you know, you sleep till the next day. If you eat around about 12 hours, and you haven't eaten, your body starts to produce ketones, which ketones are sort of like a byproduct of burning fat, and it uses that for energy. So now specifically on the ketogenic diet is that we completely eliminate carbs. And now this is, I mean, in inverted commas, eliminate carbs. Ketogenic diet is basically, they said 20 to 50 grams of carbs per day, but it's that the consensus is around 20 grams and less carbohydrates. So maximum 20 grams of carbohydrates every day. So to give you an example, 20 grams of carbs is equal to one slice of bread, basically. And so you wouldn't want to waste your entire carb allocation on one slice of bread. And bread is not good for you anyway. But we'll get into that. we'll get into that. So you basically just stop that. So you just eat your high fat. When I say high fat, so you'll prepare your food. You'll fry your food in butter. You'll fry your steak. You'll eat it with the fat, you know, with the fat itself. Have a salad. Cruciferous vegetables.
So I want to know, how do you know your body's in ketosis though? Because like, you know, the tricky thing is that like, I know someone that was on the ketosis diet, right? And I was like, okay, so share with me what you're eating.
Okay.
And when they shared with me what they had for lunch, it was literally a full avo.
Cool.
And then they had chicken licking wings.
No, terrible. No.
You know, I was like, you know what? I am not on the ketogenic diet.
Yes.
And I know it says high fat and high fat and high protein, but I'm not sure whether like, no offense to chicken licking, but I'm not sure whether that
chicken licking would work with
whether
this.
Whether it would work with it, you know, so.
Great point.
And like, I think, no offense once again, it's one of the reasons why a lot of people tend to go for it because they're thinking, oh my word, I can eat as much fat as I want to.
Absolutely.
I can eat as much protein because it's fat. I'm just like, but like, no way. The quality of what you eat, the quality of your macros, the quality of the fats and the protein you're eating surely ought to matter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's a great point, and I'd like us to touch on that maybe a little bit later when we speak about the mistakes people make on the keto diet. So how you know you're in ketosis is basically like I said, you cut out your carbs for like your first day or two, and then the most common side effects of sort of like keto is that you're gonna have this thing called keto flu, because now this is now your body having to adapt now after years and years of using sugar and glucose for energy. Now it must start adapting itself and using fat. So you'll feel a bit sluggish. You won't feel that great at all. Some people have sort of like headaches. It's just kind of general flu symptoms really, but they never last more than, with me when I did it, they lasted about 2 days, 3 days maximum. And one way to get rid of them is to literally just have pour about half a glass of water and then add salt to it. The pink salt, and just drink that just to bring your electrolytes up. And then you'll start feeling it. And as you start going to ketosis, you'll feel your body. You'll feel different. You'll start urinating a lot more. You'll probably wake up a couple of times at night. And, this is because now as you go into ketosis, you're burning through your glycogen stores and all that. Carbohydrates retain water. And because now you've drained all the carbohydrates within your body, your body starts to release water. That's one of the reasons why people on keto will kind of lose. I mean, there's people who've lost up to 10 kilos, depending obviously how overweight you are. I think on the first week, I went down a good 3 kilos, 3.5. A lot of it obviously is water weight. So don't get too excited. That's just sort of like water weight. But the most amazing thing about ketosis is just going to be the way that you feel. Fat is a far superior fuel for your brain than glucose ever will be. And it's so difficult to explain that you need to experience it for yourself. And you've had this thing, what we just call mental clarity. Brain fog is completely gone. Your thought, it is, you know, to make you understand it, it's like glucose is sort of like your coal-powered fire station. It's very, and diesel, you know, it's very messy. There's a lot of smoke and this and that. And when you switch over to ketosis and using fat for energy, it's almost like, that's like using electricity or solar power. It's renewable. It is clean. It's no mess. That's the best way I can sort of explain it to you. Mm-hmm. And then the other way to test, obviously you've got ketone test strips where you urinate on them and then it'll tell you. So what happens is that your body will produce ketones and then excess ketones are released through your urine. And then when you urinate on that, it'll obviously with the color, it'll kind of give you a range in terms of it's measured in millimoles. How many ketones? Then you're kind of certain that you're there. You can get a ketone meter, which is similar to like a glucose meter.
Where do you get it?
The ketone meter. I had to import mine. I battled to find one here in South Africa.
Okay.
They used to have, I know Dis-Chem used to have, but I think it was sort of one of those things ahead of their time and nobody was really buying them and then they stopped bringing them in.
Is there any other way to ascertain whether your body is in ketosis?
Yeah, sure. So you can use the strips. Okay. Strips is one of them. You can use the ketone meter, which is similar to like your glucose.
So where do you get the strips?
You can get them from any health shop. Most health shops have got them. Just ask them for like just ketone test strips. They'll have it there.
Okay, cool.
They'll have them.
Cool.
And then, the meter. You just prick your finger, sample of blood, and then that's the most accurate one. It'll tell you how many ketones you've got in your blood. There's also like a breath machine where you just literally just blow into it and it'll tell you if you're in ketosis or not. Not super accurate, but kind of accurate. Same thing with the strips, because the more what's called fat adapted is that the longer you're on keto, the longer you're in ketosis, the more efficient your body becomes at burning ketones. So you start excreting less and less ketones. Then you'll start thinking that, oh, I'm no longer in ketosis, but you actually are. It's just that you burn all of them up. And then the fourth one, which is sort of like a rudimentary test, is very easy, is that when you wake up in the morning, acetone breath, like you'll wake up and you just, your breath, well, literally, you've got like a very acetone-y kind of a taste, like a chemical. You're thinking, where's that breath coming from? And then that's sort of like just confirmation for you that you're in ketosis.
Boom. So just to summarize, ketosis app is basically when your body doesn't use glucose for energy.
Correct.
It taps into your fat.
That's right.
To burn
yes.
fat. Fantastic, fantastic.
Absolutely.
So, and going back to that burning point, which I brought up about, you know, what kind of foods
right.
to eat, the appropriate kind of food. So I want to know, what is your diet constitute of? And
okay.
do you count calories, you know, because I count calories, of course, you
yes.
know that the rule of thumb, in order for weight loss to occur, you need to be in a calorie deficit.
Right.
So I'm trying to understand, does ketosis adhere to the same principles? And what kind of foods, what kind of fats are we talking about here? What kind of proteins are we talking about here?
Okay. So the beauty of the ketogenic diet, you don't count calories because it's quite simple. It's almost impossible to overeat the ketogenic diet. I read once, not so off the top of my head, and don't quote me specifically on this, but they did a study with, guys in the army, and they're on a standard sort of 2,800 calorie per day diet, And then, so they took half of them, they kept them on that diet, and then the others were put onto a ketogenic diet. And we kind of, obviously it was clean eating, even if you're not on the keto diet. And when they basically measured the guys on the ketogenic diet who were eating, eat to your content, three meals a day at a time and all that. And when they measured them, I think that those guys were hitting around about 1,800, 1,900 calories a day. And they were full. I mean, I'm talking, you are stuffed. You cannot eat another bite. So that is sort of kind of like a fundamental difference with it, because it's high fat. Fat is very satiating.
Mm-hmm.
Fat is satiating. It's got, it carries more energy in itself per volume, and it just keeps you fuller for longer. You know?
I don't know. My question is though, what if you're not burning as many calories? Like, what happens? I mean,
it doesn't matter.
No. No.
So yeah, on the ketogenic diet, your conventional carbs in equals carbs in minus carbs out, whatever, so I know that doesn't apply.
You burn more calories, right, on the keto diet.
You use your own fat basically for energy. You'll use your own fat for energy. So what we do is that we don't use the principle of carbs in, carbs out. So that's why we don't specifically count. We don't count your calories. Obviously, you'll use like a tracking app for your food, like MyFitnessPal, and obviously it will give you the calorie part and how many calories you consumed in a day. But at the end of the day, the beauty of the ketogenic diet is that it resets your body to our basic primal state when we're still like cavemen and all that, and you learn to actually listen to your body. So when you're hungry, you will eat. When you're not hungry, you just don't eat.
So let me get this. Let me get this straight. So you generally tend to eat less, mainly because the kinds of food that you're eating
give
you greater, you know, satiety. How do you say that?
Satiety.
Something like that. Tongue twister. Yeah. So basically, I'll stick to it. It makes you more full.
Yeah, let's keep it simple. Right. Yes.
So therefore, in essence, you actually do end up eating fewer calories.
Yes.
In that sense, that's how you dig into your fat stores for your energy.
Yes.
Cool. Perfect. Okay, cool.
So, I mean, a quick example would be if you've ever had a greasy breakfast in the morning, and, you know, just like eggs, bacon, and like a sausage, cheese, and all that. And I'm quite sure you can attest to say that you were quite full for quite a while before, you know, you're ready for your next meal.
Sure. So basically it comes from the, you know, the quality of the food that you're eating and how full I'm not going to use that word.
Right.
Satiety.
Yes, right.
Yay. You know, and because of that, you end up just eating already a lot less and consuming fewer calories, of course, and you're using your fat stores for your fat reserves for your energy.
Exactly, yeah.
Cool. So, and then tell me, what kinds of food do you eat?
Okay, so like, I'll break it down, give you examples of each. Let me give you examples of each. So let's start with the protein, okay? Mm-hmm. So protein is going to be obviously your beef, chicken, you can have beef, you can have your chicken, mince. A great one is like bourivores. Fantastic.
Too much fat for my liking.
No, just the right amount of fat for keto.
Too much fat.
So you got your bourivores. Basically just your normal meats that which is any other diet really. Yeah. Protein.
So why can't they eat chicken, chicken wings, huh?
So the problem with that is, if I had to tell, is because they're coated. So you can sort of have the wings, but the problem is that obviously they use trans fats and all that, which is that's laboratory made fats. That's just unhealthy as a whole. And also because they're coated in that crumbing. So those are hidden carbs. That's going to knock, so that's going to creep into your carb count and all that. So you don't want that. So that's kind of the reason why you don't want to eat that. So, but fried wings, if you're long, the wings are sort of like fried, but no sweet and sour sauce. So it's like peri peri sauce. That's great. That's fine. Or just a basic spice. No problem. You can have those wings. So, and then that's basically that. And when you eat your protein, you eat the meat with the fat. So you don't go for the low fat or the least amount of fat kind of cut or like your skinless breast. You eat the protein or the meat with the fat. So get as juicy and as fatty pieces as you possibly can, whatever it is, kind of meat that you want to have. And that's basically what you want to go for.
And in terms of, examples of good fats, apart from Evo.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there's Evo. Evo is like the fruit to have on keto. I mean, it is number one. It's absolutely number one. So you can have that. And then you butter. Specifically
kind of
grass-fed butter.
I think that's important to mention.
Yes, it's very important to mention. It has to be grass-fed butter. Grass-fed butter comes from obviously cows that have been grass-fed.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no hormones and all that. And it's not grain-fed. They're not grain-fed cows. So you're not going to get those excess hormones that have been fed into those cows, which is important. Sorry, as well to mention for protein is that the meat I eat has got to be like your grass-fed beef. Free range, sort of like your free range chicken, eggs for protein as well, but free range, specifically free range eggs. That's very important, you know. So anything that is as natural as its natural state as it was when the earth was created, basically, you know. So, with your fats, say you've got your, like we've mentioned, Evo.
Mentioned butter.
Olive oil, butter, grass-fed butter, olive oil, coconut oil. Fantastic. It's really amazing. That comes with, you know, byproduct of it is MCT. And the beauty of MCT is that it is such a pure oil that it goes straight to your liver and helps in the production of ketones. It doesn't even have to be sort of like digested and broken down by your body. It goes just straight to your liver and immediately just becomes ketones and it gives you energy. So we've got that. There's healthy nuts as well, similar to what you have. So, but you want to have your nuts that are very low in carbohydrates. So that's going to be like your
Raw almonds.
Almonds, you know, yes, almonds favorite. Are great. Brazilian nuts, I think they've got the lowest sort of carb content. There is so what is almonds, walnuts. Can I have walnuts? Those are great. Cashews, no. Cashews are very high carb, nut. And obviously like your nuts and raisins that you buy, like your supermarket. No, an absolute no. So just stick to like sort of like your healthy nuts. And that's kind of universal between your diet and mine, really. That works fine. And then what other sources of oil? I'm just trying to think that of fat that we can have. That's sort of besides the actual fat from the meat itself. There's that. And then, you can buy MCT oil as well. You can get like pure MCT oil, which is sort of like gone from your coconut oil. That's sort of like your basic fats that you'll be using.
So basically, in essence, like
cheese as well.
So basically, the kinds of fats and proteins that we eat, they pretty much sort of similar to what I would actually eat as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Like
a
normal person. And yes. Like, you know, as long as it's healthy fats, as long as it's healthy protein, that is key. It's not an excuse for you to go buy KFC and, you know, and like, I don't know. It's not an excuse.
So what you kind of do see between, you know, keto and your conventional sort of low fat diet is that both are sort of, well, let's say with the low fat diet, which is what you're on, that's, you have to eat clean. And the eating clean of it also goes, it also kind of speaks back to what we do on keto, which is sort of keep your blood sugar levels down. Cause the kind of food that you're going to eat are those that, keep your blood sugar levels down. Mm. So to give you an idea, protein will trigger insulin, but not as much. So your carbohydrates trigger insulin the most. And that's why people just gone so fat was sugar, you know, wheat, all that, anything that's a carb, that's a carbohydrate or sugar itself, as was running the same thing.
And I think also it's very key though that you mentioned that carbs are created differently. Because people, there are different, you know.
The refined carbs are the worst. Those are the absolute worst. Those are the absolute worst.
We need to, cause I mean, I eat carbs, however, I eat healthy carbs.
Right.
You know, I have my brown rice.
Yes.
You know, and obviously, vegetables and so forth also fall within the carbs category as well. You know, your potatoes, sweet potatoes.
Right.
It's just a matter of like people saying like what kind of carbs, and of course depending on what kind of diet you're on, the percentage of what.
What we'll definitely agree on is that refined carbs are an absolute no-no whichever diet you're on. So your crisps, your buns, and your biscuits and all that nonsense, absolute no-no. We do not even touch that. The carbs that we specifically eat on keto, our source of carbs is going to be your cruciferous vegetables, because we have to keep the carb content very low.
So tell me, do you ever allow yourself to indulge in, you know, a few delights every now and again? I mean, I'm absolutely certain that at the end of the day, you are a human being, and like you go home for Easter's, for Christmas, or go for festivities, weddings and birthdays, and you have a slice of cake there that's looking at you that you ought to have. I'm like, you know, I always say that, you know what? Truth be told, I believe in the 80-20 rule, because I always believe that no one can stick to something 100%
during the time. I do agree there. Absolutely.
And life's too short, you know, to... Yeah. Honestly, life's too short. Yeah.
Look, you just need to do your best 80% of the time.
Yeah, that's what I agree to all the time as well, that, you know what, like 80-20, end of the day, food is meant to be enjoyed and loved, and like... We would be robotic if I was to eat like a broccoli steak every single day for my entire life. You know? Right. So every now and again,
yes.
I'll have like, for example, you know, something very different. Well, totally keto.
I know you love your desserts.
Totally. Me and dessert, me and sugar, we're like, it's like my bestie. I see like cake, or I see like a cupcake or anything sweet, and I get like delighted. My eyes just like brighten up. So for me, that's what I indulge in every now and again. You know, I'm not a savory kind of person. I'm more of a sweet kind of person.
Okay.
So now I'm trying to understand, like, you know, someone like you on keto, does the 80-20 rule apply? And like, how do you, cause I know that when you eat certain things, your body goes off the keto state.
That's right, yeah.
So, you know, so how do you balance that? It sounds like a lot of admin.
The trick is that that's why it's very important to track your macros and just so when you start out, you sort of weigh your food and all that, and then you use a fitness app, and then that helps you to track your macros. And the key here is that also do not eat, if you eat too much protein. Eating too much protein, your body, through a process called gluconeogenesis, your body is able to produce glucose by breaking down that protein if you've eaten too much protein. Then that's going to knock you out of ketosis. And also, if you eat too many carb-rich foods, it's also going to knock you out of ketosis. So what happens is that your glucose levels rise to such a point in your body that it becomes a tipping point, and your body switches basically and then starts burning off the glucose for the energy.
So
you have to keep your carbs low. So to give an idea, is like what we have to eat specifically, even in vegetables. So we can't eat potatoes, we can't eat sweet potato, no carrots. It's basically you have to eat all the vegetables that grow above the ground. So all your green veggies. So like your Brussels sprouts, your cabbage, kind of lettuce, asparagus, broccoli, that kind of stuff. Anything that grows above ground.
So you do count calories.
No, we don't count calories.
But you just said no, you'd have to check your macros.
No. So what I'm saying, when I say macros, is that your macronutrients. So that's your breakdown, which is 75% which is basically 75% fat, 20% protein, and 5% carbs.
Oh, yeah.
The calories are immaterial. It's just basically how your breakdown, your split of your macros. Yes.
That's what's very, very strict.
That's
key
what's strict. Very key.
In maintaining a ketosis state.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's very key.
Sounds like a lot of work. Not a lot of work, but so do you enjoy pleasantries every now and again?
That one, I would say when you start out on your keto diet, cut out pleasantries, forget about it. And
for
this
how long,
is,
though?
This is one of those things when, like, it's a very personal journey, because it depends on sort of what your goal weight is and how long you want to be to do the keto diet. And the difference with the keto diet is not an on-off diet. It has to be a way of life.
As with anything, I believe.
It has to be literally a way of life. Because the thing is with keto, there are no cheat days. So with you can have a cheat day, like maybe on a Sunday, have like a biscuit or whatever. You can't do that on keto. Because if you get knocked off ketosis, especially when you're not fat adapted, it'll take you up to a week to get back into ketosis again. That's just something to think about. So
I hope you guys are listening. Yeah. Out there.
You do not want to knock yourself out of ketosis especially when you're just still starting, because it will take you up to a week to get right back into ketosis again. So it's one of those things that you have to get your mind right, and you have to be, and for me, I've always said the motivation has to come from internal rather than external. And that is what's going to get you through everything. And the best thing to do also is that just also shape your environment to complement what it is that you're trying to achieve. So if you know you're a person that goes out, parties a lot, and you're always meeting friends for restaurants and like restaurants, because we're social eaters as human beings lately now, is that shape your environment to what it is. So if you need to take time out from your friends and just be like, guys, I just need to go on this personal journey, or I'll see you once every third week or that kind of thing, do that. Cut out on the partying, because the partying, you're going to be drinking bad alcohol, it's got a lot of sugar and all that. That's going to knock you out of ketosis. That's not going to help as well. So you really, at this point in time with keto, it really, it tests your dedication. It really does. Like, it really takes your dedication. But I always tell people that for me, because, you know, there's also said that there's nothing as powerful as a decision. When you've decided to actually do something, and they say, that's why they say 99% is a bitch and 100% is a breeze. You know, 99% means if you have to push yourself every time to do something, it means every time you have to wake up in the morning, you must convince yourself, you must negotiate with yourself that, oh, I need to do this, I need to do whatever. But if you're committed 100%, you do not even have to think about it, because it just literally becomes a part of your thought process. You've made a decision. This is me. So once you've decided to be on keto, and for me, that's why I tell people, like, it was one of the easiest things I've ever had to do, because I decided and I was like, this is what I want for myself. And staying on was very hard. You know, you'll see that cake and all that, but then you just realize and you just look at it and you'll be like, no, it's not worth it, because one bite of that, it knocks me out of ketosis, and I'm not going to be in ketosis for another 3 to 7 days. So I'm actually just working backwards, basically, and I'm stalling my own progress.
Sure. I really find it very restrictive. But
yes. No. Like, it is. But two, if I may add to that, two, so that can alleviate some fears. The beauty of it is that when I say, okay, with the indulgences, what you'll learn is that, and the more you go into like the keto and the recipes and all that, we can tweak recipes. So don't think I don't eat muffins anymore. I actually still do. I still have a keto, but there's a keto made muffin. So you use things like almond flour.
See, now we're talking.
You know, now we're tweaking the recipes. Exactly.
Now it's getting exciting. Yeah, now my ears are kind of like,
ding. Okay, now we can, yes. So I mean, like,
because that's very important. Because I want to know, like, can I make like, keto pancakes?
Yes. Just like, you can.
You know.
Absolutely, you can.
I think that's, you know.
You can.
That's such an important piece of information, which you almost left out.
Yeah. I do apologize for that.
Because I was just like, you know what? I'm never going to do this. But, you know, it's like, absolutely, you said, yes. Now. So you can have inverted commas sugar in your dessert if you want to, or you need treats.
Yeah, so you
but
treat
of course
the
it's about the kind of ingredients that you use.
That's
to
it. Yes.
You know, like, you know, protein pancakes, for example, you know, where you use like a little bit of banana.
Yeah. So the trick is always just to watch your carb content. So you learn to read labels and learn to watch your carb content. That's the most important part of it.
I just find it so much more simpler to just cook and make everything at home versus buying. Very, you know, important. I know, like, it's so much work to prepare food at home, but
it's much,
like,
healthier.
It's much healthier. It's just so much easier because you know exactly what you put in it, yes, and versus just buying things.
100%. I totally agree there. With
and
me,
it's also much more affordable.
Every single meal I eat is cooked. So I don't buy takeout at all. And every single meal I eat is cooked.
So, but tell me, you cook every single meal?
Yeah.
So every single day you cook?
Absolutely. Well, I won't cook every day, but I will cook sort of three days a week, and then sort of for the next couple of days. But yeah, every meal that I have.
I cook in two batches too, like a Sunday and then like a midweek.
I'm sort of similar to you.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's interesting as well. I mean, for a man that's busy like you, so yeah, how do you make time for this?
You make time. You know, one thing I've learned is that you make time for anything and everything.
That matters.
Yeah, that matters. Yeah.
100%.
Definitely.
Like, it's one of those things that I find people struggle with. It's the cooking part, and some of them have a huge problem with eating the same thing all the time again.
True.
I've
kind of like, look, okay, it's so weird. I'm like, I'm kind of okay. Like, I can have a steak and broccoli every night.
I've expressed that, like, you know what, guys, unfortunately, it's part and parcel. Unless you have the time and the energy and the finance and the resources to cook a different meal every single day with cool recipes and you know, go ahead. However, from a practicality perspective, like, we are all busy and like, I'm not going to be behind the stove cooking a different meal every single day, trying to, like, you know, knock my head out in terms of, oh, what am I going to cook today?
I totally agree.
It's one of the compromises that comes along with the process, you know, whether you're going keto, whether you're going my way, where you're eating all three macros in your diet. So, like, I think that's a very, very important part to mention. And just a quick one, I think we're running a little bit over time. Give me a few most common mistakes people make when going ketosis.
Number one is sort of the one that we've just discussed now, is that there are no cheat days on the keto diet at all. Every day has to be committed to, and And the best way to stick on it is just use what they use, like an Alcoholics Anonymous. You don't have to say, I'm not going to eat carbs for the next 6 months, whatever. Just wake up every morning and just say to yourself, I choose not to eat carbs today. And just repeat the same thing the day after that, and just a day at a time. So it's that, and then hidden carbs are also the biggest culprit. There's a lot of little carbs that sneak in and that people are completely unaware of. And another thing is that what's important to arm yourself, learn how to read food labels, because manufacturers have realized that we're slowly starting to wisen up to like health and all that, and then they start playing around with food labels in a way that are very, very misleading. That you'll think that you look at something, you look at the carb content, you're thinking, oh no, this doesn't have many carbs, but they've separated sort of like your carbs and they're separated, and the sugar is absolutely separate, and you must add the two together. You know that all those kinds of things. Food labels are quite misleading. So and what you also learn, what makes it easier, is that what you need to eat on the ketogenic diet is that it has to be anything that you basically prepare yourself. So like your cheese, you know, you buy your cheese, your meat, you do yourself, that kind of thing. Anything that's pre-prepared and is packed, and you know, like your crumbed chicken breasts and all that kind of stuff, that's all got hidden carbs. You don't want to eat that. So what you'll kind of, which is the big realization on keto, is that when you walk into a supermarket, 99% of everything that you see in the supermarket, you cannot eat. Because it's all just processed food.
Wow.
It's all just processed food. It is junk.
So quick one. Is keto safe?
It is. It is 100% safe. I mean,
particularly on the kidneys and diabetes, you know.
So the beauty of keto is that it reverses type 2 diabetes. And this is literally it's like a worldwide thing. So one of the problems that you're wising up to keto, and this is all that's going on, that's sort of like a conspiracy theory, but this is my conspiracy theory, is that your food companies and your drug companies, which are pretty much one of the biggest industries in the world, work together. The food industries get you sick, and the drug companies supply you drugs to make you better.
Ooh, you've been controversial.
Now I'm being very controversial. That's right. So you look at people like people are type 2 diabetic, and they will take what is that drug again? I just forgot what the name is. Which, you know, diabetes drugs and that kind of thing. And the whole diet for diabetics is just bad, because they give them food, like say, no, eat a bit of whole wheat bread. You know, you must have grains and that kind of, all that stuff spikes your insulin. And the whole point of diabetes means you've got too much insulin. And that is the problem with that. That's type 2 diabetes. Mm. That's the basic definition of type 2 diabetes. When you eliminate all that, which is a ketogenic diet, and you eat food like fat does not spike insulin at all. So when you eat a ketogenic diet, the world over, there is documented proof of people that are completely off their diabetes medicine, and the diabetes, basically they go back to sort of being pre-diabetic and they lead a normal life. That's number one. Number two, diabetes says it's healthy due to cancer. Cancer cannot grow in a ketogenic body.
I've actually heard about that, and I read it up when I was actually trying to figure out, you know, what is this?
Yes.
What is this keto thing about? Apparently, it helps to reduce the risk of cancer.
Immensely, because cancer cannot grow in a ketogenic body. So what happens is, a quick thing, when you've got cancer, it's because cancer is basically cancerous cells. And when you go for a PET scan, what doctors actually do is that cancerous cells eat sugar the fastest. So what they simply do, doctors do, is that they inject you with glucose, and then they monitor your body, and where that glucose gets absorbed the quickest, that's where they know the cancerous cells are. Basically. So cancer loves sugar.
I also heard that, like,
cancer loves sugar.
I also heard that it's very suitable. It's a suitable complementary treatment to chemotherapy as well as radiation for people with cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and apparently it's due to the fact that it would cause more oxidative stress in cancer cells than it is in normal cells.
It does. It absolutely does. And so one of the reasons why we also get cancerous as well is that our human body was not designed to eat often. So the whole 6 meals a day really is not good for the human body. And this is what causes things like inflammation. And by the way, all disease comes from inflammation. And so things like inflammation, your gut doesn't rest, you know, all that kind of stuff. So this is where your intermittent fasting sort of comes in. And our human body is quite amazing, is that we've got a thing called like autophagy. So the longer you go without eating, our own cells start to break down all the bad cells, all the bad proteins within those cells, and it cleans itself up. So we've got cancerous cells every single day that grow in us, but our body's got an ability to clean, to clean those cells up. But autophagy happens in the absence of food, sort of when your digestive system is basically in a fasted state. So that's why, like, I mean, I've had a water fast. Of the longest I went was sort of like 4 days, and just drink water for 4 days and nothing else. Only water for 4 days. And I did that for autophagy, which is just basically for one sort of like skin, sort of like you clear up my skin, you want your cells to renew themselves and that kind of thing. And that is sort of like with the keto diet, that works absolutely amazingly.
So quick one, you touched on fasting, intermittent fasting. You know, how's it related to keto, and what is intermittent fasting?
So intermittent fasting is just basically goes back to what I just said now, that our human body was not designed to eat often. We are not grazers by design, and that is why people are so overweight, because you're just constantly grazing. You know, have this meal, have a snack, and just constantly eating. So what intermittent fasting does is just basically you have an eating window. The most common one is your 16-8, which is basically for 16 hours you do not eat anything, and then you only eat in an 8-hour window. So to give you an example, you'll have your last meal, let's say at 8 p.m. You'll stop eating at 8 p.m. let me say. You'll stop eating at 8 p.m. and then you'll have your first meal the next day at midday, which is 16 hours later.
So it means you cut out breakfast.
Pardon?
That's a 16-8 method.
That's a 16-8 method. So you cut out breakfast. Just cut out your breakfast, eat that meal, have a nice big lunch, and then the trick is do not snack in between, and eat nothing until you get home again. So you basically have two meals a day until you have your dinner at around, say, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. That's when you have your second meal. And that's just basically it. And the beauty of intermittent fasting is that you can even implement it with even your diet. You know, intermittent fasting is just universal to anything. It just, and what intermittent fasting does, and that's why it works so well, is it goes back to what keto does. It keeps your blood sugar levels low, because when you're not eating, your insulin goes back down and your blood sugar levels are stable, and your body starts to tap into your own body fat and starts to burn that. That's basically what intermittent fasting
so
is.
So basically, I would say that intermittent fasting, in summary, is an eating pattern where you cycle between periods of eating and fasting.
Yes.
That's what it is. Because I realize it's become very popular and very trendy.
It's very trendy. It's very good for you, by the way.
I don't know, another method is called the eat, stop, eat. Finding this is where you, once or twice a week, you don't eat anything from dinner one day until dinner the next day.
Yes. So there's people can Google that. There's different variations. So like with your fasting, so what I do is I just do intermittent fasting 5 days a week. So Monday to Friday, weekend, I just eat normally. And then other people will eat one day.
This is a 5-2 ratio diet.
So I do like sort of like 5-2. Some people will do a 2-1-2-1-2-1. So you eat 2 days. You fast for 2 days, eat normally one day, then fast for 2 days. And then there's like the on-off, which is the one that you say, where you eat normally for maybe 2 days. And then one day, like on a Wednesday, you eat nothing at all. And then you resume again on Thursday. So there's a couple of ways of, but the 16-8 is kind of the easiest and most practical way to do it. So it's a 16-8, then there's an 18-6, there's a 24. And then there's the one that I'm currently doing now, which is called OMAD, which is literally just one meal a day. So I eat just once a day.
Oh my goodness. 2 o'clock
and
I'm fainting. Boom. On the ground.
And you will not believe how fainting, amazing you feel. I mean, I had my last meal. It's in the evening now, like 8 p.m.
I've already fainted. Look, I mean, I have heard of, apparently intermittent fasting has, quite a few benefits, such as, you know, of course, the most obvious, which is weight loss, you know, metabolic health, disease prevention, and so forth.
Absolutely.
So,
reduces inflammation, very important.
You know, I think it's one which deserves its own episode, actually, unpacked. Yes. But like, moving back to, you know, the keto diet.
Yes.
How do you incorporate exercise? Because I know that you are quite an exercise fanatic as well. Like, do you get tired? Do you get enough reserves? You know,
you'll be fine. Your body will always be able to make its own glucose anyway. It does. It does that. So specifically, it also depends on what kind of exercise that you want to do. So if you're going to do like your weight training and all that, admittedly, when you're on the ketogenic diet, you will lose a little bit of strength, because glucose the glucose turns into energy faster than your body's able to convert fat. So that's why you're able to pump a little bit more, sort of explosive workout, sort of like, you know, you're sprinting and that kind of thing. Glucose athletes will definitely be much better. That's proven. But for like endurance exercise, cycling, long distance running, that kind of thing, ketogenic diet is absolutely the key. It's documented in all runners that sort of have moved onto the ketogenic sort of banting lifestyle have even improved their running times remarkably, not even just slightly. I mean, remarkably. You just run longer because the thing is, the difference with carbs is that when you're on sort of glucose for energy and all that, when you run for a certain amount of time, you basically burn through all your glucose. And then what you see a lot of runners, they'll do is they'll have like an energy aid or, you know, those energy drinks or like an energy bar in order to carb up again to get more sort of glucose back into the system. But the beauty with a ketogenic diet is that you've just got your whole body to fuel you.
But how do you build muscle on the keto diet? Because I mean, for me, muscle is very important.
Ketosis is muscle sparing, so it will not allow your body to burn through the muscle. And because what's important is that the ketogenic diet works hand in hand with your intermittent fasting, so you really need to do the two together. And intermittent fasting as well is absolutely fantastic for muscle building and your sparing as well. So you do not have to worry about in terms of you're going to lose muscle mass or you're going to get tiny and all that. No. Your palm initially, yes, is going to get, you'll be a little bit weaker, but which you can work all that back. So, I don't want to get too technical, but there's other people that use what's called the targeted ketogenic diet, which is kind of,
I've heard that. I don't know.
But that's always, more technical.
Like,
yeah.
What I've always been afraid of is just that you eat so little protein and you eat so much fat, like, you surely at some point do lose a bit of muscle.
I promise you, not at all. Not at all. So if you do obviously too much endurance, like, which is like just like anybody, if all you ever do is run, whichever diet you're on, you're obviously going to start burning your own muscle. And then hence long distance runners are very thin. But if you do like compound movements, you know, strength training and anaerobic workouts basically, absolutely no reason why you're going to burn through muscle, because the ketogenic diet is also muscle sparing as well, just like yours.
Don't know, but anyway, nonetheless,
try it.
So any negative side effects on keto? I mean, everything has pros and cons, so please don't be biased.
Yeah, the biggest like negative, and this is huge.
One which I've heard of.
Yes,
I'm not sure, but like apparently you get to experience a bit of diarrhea.
I've never heard that. I'd say that's a myth. No, that doesn't happen.
That's a myth.
No, that's it. That's a myth. I mean, I've gone through copious amounts of stories, and no one's ever had that. The biggest negative, by far, the huge biggest negative, is the fact that you need to get yourself a new wardrobe. Because your old clothes are just going to be too big.
I feel like you're being biased.
Absolutely. Totally.
I've heard of the keto flu as well.
Well, keto flu, that is just there, but that's only like your first 2-3 days, and then it's gone. Then you'll never have it again.
And what about ketoacidosis?
Ketoacidosis.
Yeah, because, you know, I did a little bit of reading, of course.
Acidosis. That is more for, that's on sort of like your diabetics.
Yeah,
that's more on as some of the diabetics. I'd have to go through the literature on that. I know, but it's a certain type of diabetic that is at risk of sort of like your acidosis, but it's not everyone though.
Because apparently, yeah, it's if you particularly suffer from type 1 or type 2 diabetes, ketosis can trigger ketoacidosis.
That has been known.
And apparently this occurs in the body stores of too many ketones. Acid produced.
And then your blood becomes acidic.
Fat. Yes. And the blood becomes too acidic, which can damage the liver, kidneys, and brain. And if left untreated, it can be fatal.
So that one I know specifically, you'd kind of have to just monitor your blood ketones. So that just means sort of like as your diabetic people always check their blood glucose, just monitor your ketones as well. And that'll tell you. So the trick is that you make sure that your ketones sort of sit, I think somewhere between sort of 1 and 2 millimoles per liter. And then you should be good to go. If it goes too much, then yes, you're sort of needing to, but that's specifically for some diabetics also, not all of them, only for diabetics though.
And I've heard that it can also decrease your metabolism.
Yes, it does. It doesn't decrease your metabolism. What decreases your metabolism is your insulin. And that's why sort of people also just gain weight. Keto is not going to decrease your metabolism as much as intermittent fasting also doesn't decrease your metabolism. So the human body is like this. It doesn't matter when you get all your nutrients. You can eat everything in one meal or sort of like have two meals over like your 8-hour window. It doesn't really matter. It's not going to decrease your metabolism. And that's actually proven.
Really?
Yeah, that's actually proven. Yeah. It will not decrease your metabolism.
I heard of less muscle mass and decreased metabolism.
No, you don't have to worry about that. Don't have to worry about that. And the weight loss of the stories on keto is amazing. I mean, even Instagram, have a look at an account called @lifelongketo.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll just see the transformation of incredible amounts of people. I'm talking people, I mean, 22 kilos is a lot, but I mean, in the biggest scheme of things, we've got people who've lost 100 kilos on keto. And what I always tell you as well, that don't worry too much also about the scale. Just measure your waist. That's all. Every week, write it down and you'll just see your waist disappear.
And what about cholesterol levels? Because you're having so much fat.
There's another discussion we need to have for another day. Because what keto is going to teach you is that everything you've been taught to know about food and what cholesterol is and that kind of thing is absolute nonsense. And so yes, when you go on that because of the fat, your cholesterol levels initially go high, then they come back and they stabilize a bit as well. But generally more higher than anybody else. But there is nothing wrong with cholesterol. Your body makes its own cholesterol. So whatever, if you eat too little cholesterol, your body just simply makes more. And if you eat sort of more cholesterol, and this is on a healthy diet, your body makes less. So what cholesterol basically is this. When you're eating sugar, sugar is like sandpaper in your arteries, in your veins. That's why people have heart attacks. It's like sugar. So the sandpaper scrapes all your arteries and you start to bleed internally. Cholesterol goes there and it lines those arteries in order to stop the internal bleeding. So without cholesterol, you would die. That's the long and short of what cholesterol is.
True, but I mean, like, it's a very important the problem hormone. Is not the presence of it in its entirety, but it's the level of it.
It's a very healthy hormone, though. It's a very important hormone.
But the question is, like, does the fact that you're on a high-fat diet increase it to a point where it could be becomes unhealthy?
No, no, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You are not in no risk of heart attacks or anything like that on there.
I think it's also because it's such an intricate thing, I also think that, you know what, it's very important that anybody that's starting out, I mean, I'm sure you'll agree that they should do so much research and also talk to a doctor, nutritionist as well, in terms of just guiding them, you know, for people that don't know. Because it's a very intricate, with any diet, I mean, of course, even with me, I always say that, like, talk to a dietitian or talk to a nutritionist first, because we don't know what kind of food types are better suited for our bodies, etc. You know, hence, I mean, I think the safe,
so,
even though there is so much information on that, I just think that, like, if you don't have the time to do all the research and all the reading, I think it's also important for you to just supplement and not just take everything that you read on the net, because, you know, not everything is
so. What I would suggest on this one, and this is sort of like the more theoretical and slightly controversial side of me, is that you want to do as much of your research as possible.
Yes,
speak to doctors, but do not take what they say to heart, because most doctors now it's becoming more and more evident that doctors almost do not know what they're doing. So doctors have gone from treating the causes of diseases, and now they treat symptoms. You've got inflammation. What do doctors do? They give you anti-inflammatories. It's like, yeah, pop this pill. But why do you not go to the cause of that inflammation, which is probably like your sugar, overeating, and that kind of thing? And so that's one of the reasons sort of why that doctor's advice, specifically when it comes to also like weight loss, it does not specifically, and some dietitians and nutritionists and all that, because some will tell you, no, it's very important to have like your grains and your bread and that kind of thing. You know, you've got your essential fats and you've got essential proteins, but no, there's no such thing as an essential carbohydrate. And you can ask anybody that's documented. In fact, that's medical. There is no such thing as, there's not 1 gram of carbohydrate that is needed by our body. Not even one.
Don't you love being controversial?
No, that's actually a medical fact. That's not even being controversial. That is a medical fact.
That is true. Okay, cool.
That is a medical fact.
Like I said, you know, bottom line is, I say do extensive research, read up, you know, equip yourself, see a dietitian if you need be. Especially if you suffer from like certain diseases or if you have any health ailments, you know, because you just need to be 100% sure always.
Yes.
That's
what I can recommend to make it life easier for people is three things to watch. There's a documentary on YouTube. It's called Carb Loaded. Watch that. It'll give you the history of why people started to gain weight when the low fat diet started coming in, and then they started adding sugar, because when you remove fat from food, it tastes like cardboard. So to get the taste back, you add a whole lot of sugar, and you'll start to realize like from around the 80s, that's when the obesity rates started to skyrocket. Mm-hmm. So watch Carb Loaded, and then two channels for you. If you're from, it'll take you from beginning to advanced on ketogenic is Dr. Eric Berg. He's sort of like the world authority really on keto. He's got like almost 3 million subscribers. He's a big channel. And Thomas DeLauer. Those are the two channels and the one documentary to watch. That is what I recommend. Everything and anything you need to know will be on those channels. Give yourself time. Don't be in a rush. Go through everything. You will make mistakes, obviously, as you learn, and don't beat yourself up about it. But the more you do it, the better you will get. And I can promise you now that you will absolutely feel amazing. And I mean, the keto diet is the one diet that I'm willing to even put my money, you know, put your money where your mouth is, where I'd happily get somebody, put them on a keto diet and say, if you don't lose weight, like by end of the month or whatever, you're not feeling great, I will pay you 5,000 and out of my pockets. That's how much I believe into
what?
It.
What? What did you say? Say that again. Say that again.
I will pay you 5,000 rand.
If you what?
If it doesn't work for you.
So you're telling my listeners that they should try it out if they don't lose weight in one month.
Well, they're going to choose one person. So what? So obviously with that one, the trick is.
And then you'll give them 5,000 rand.
The only trick is that obviously I'd have to make sure that we just test that they remain in ketosis, that they're not cheating, because that's very easy. That's the easiest thing. Because if they cheat one day, knock you out of ketosis, then, you know, long in ketosis. But you stay on the course. You stay on that course. I guarantee you, you will lose weight.
Listen, guys. So, there you guys. There you go. You heard it straight from his mouth. He will give you 5,000 rand. Boom. Yeah, just like that. If it doesn't work for you.
Yeah.
But look, another thing which I think is a bit of a con and not necessarily something attributed to ketosis, the ketosis diet itself. It's just that I think the con of it is the weight regain. And like I said, it's not particularly the actual diet, but just the fact that when you do choose to embark on the ketosis diet, you need to make sure that it is a lifestyle change and more than just like a short term weight loss, trying to like lose blast fat very quickly. Because I believe that, you know what, when the second you get off it and you incorporate all those carbs back in, like you're gonna put that weight back on.
It's not a silver bullet. It cannot be a silver bullet.
You will put that weight back on again. Absolutely. So like, you know, like, before you do it, don't think of it. It's not a long, if you don't do it just for the sake of, oh, I'm going to do it for 2 weeks or like 2 months just to lose weight. And then when you lose it, then you go off it again. Like it defeats the purpose. It's a lifestyle. If you choose to go the keto route, like take it, embrace it full on and stick to it. Cause like I said, if you just use it as a fad method, it's not going to work.
It's not going to work. No.
And again, the problem with such things is that like with any fad, anything fad is anything that you try and use a shortcut to kind of like cut, like lose fat very quickly. For me, that's bad, you know. So, and with things like that, like again, you'll put all that weight back on again and you'll end up feeling frustrated, depressed, sad, and which will potentially lead to eating problems, which we absolutely do not want or do not need. So I always suggest, you know, find something that works for you, stick to it and do it. Do it for the long run. You're changing an entire lifestyle. It's not just a 1 month, oh my God, 12 week, I'm going to lose weight and then boom, off it again. It doesn't work like that.
The aim should be to get your body into a healthy state and keep it that way. And that's basically it really. So I always say like, don't focus on the weight loss.
Yes.
And that's why one of the sayings on keto is that you don't lose weight to become healthy. You become healthy in order to lose weight. And that 100%. that should be on top of your mind. So just focus on the health part and just tell yourself and, you know, speak to your body, literally affirm your body and just be like, you know, and the fact that you're giving. I mean, I when I started keto and the longer I went into it, I remember one time I actually sat down one evening and actually apologized to my body. And I was talking to myself and I was like, wow, I did not know that I was feeding you so much crap. And we are so hard on our bodies and so abusive.
Extremely.
Alcohol, bad food, the sugar, you know, our bodies take an incredible amount of pounding from us. And I actually apologized to my body because I said, you know, I did not know better. But now that I do know better, I promise to do right by you. And that's my long-term motivation for it. It's just the fact that I just want to keep this body because this body is what serves me. It's what makes me, you know, productive. It's what makes me, you know, captain of industry and to achieve all that it is that I want to achieve. That is the most important thing. So it's an absolute temple. Look after it.
I couldn't agree more with you. And that's like the perfect way to wrap up our podcast. I'm heated. But look, I love
it. We could speak a hell of a lot.
We could.
And it goes off into so many.
The problem is that it's like it's an hour already into our podcast. So we kind of need to wrap up. I hope you guys have listened all the way to this point. And like we say, there's so much to unpack on it as well, you know, but the one that we will probably double again in future and give it a bit more attention on another episode is intermittent fasting. But nonetheless, thank you so much for tuning in. More importantly, thank you so much, Zweli, for your contribution to this episode about ketosis and, you know, the pros, the cons, and the journey. I am personally incredibly proud of your achievement.
Thank you.
So far. And like I said, guys, I'm pro learning, and hence why Zweli is here today to share his journey. A lot of things work if you promise to stick to it and to be dedicated to it. And thank you so much for your time. And
oh, my pleasure.
And I shall definitely have you back here again.
No, anytime.
Very soon.
Thank you.
Cheers, Willie.
Cheers.
Bye, guys.